Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and we have another great show for you today with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas. Kevin's going to be answering a very important question today regarding good rental or bad rental. How do you know? And answering that question is critical to finding a rental property, a residential real estate property that is right for you, that can be a source of recurring income and can be a worthwhile investment. So Kevin is going to walk us through the steps and the criteria by which you judge what is or is not a good rental property. So with that said, let me bring him on the air. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Lewis.
So walk us through these steps about how you determine what is a good or a bad rental property.
Gladly, and this is something that's very relevant to the part-time investor, especially those of you who are starting out. And I draw from, as we often do, my own past experiences. So I've been a real estate investor here in Dallas and a Homevestor franchisee for over the past 10 years. And I've bought a lot of homes, and I've kept a lot of those homes as rentals. But it's very easy for me to recall when I started out investing in real estate on a part-time basis, while I also enjoyed a full-time corporate career, I often questioned if I knew what I was doing when it came to selecting properties with the intent of them becoming profitable rental houses. I think as I look back, I think I was rather lucky because I don't think I really knew what I was doing prior to making those purchases. And what I mean is I don't know if I was using or engaging in the proper due diligence prior to purchasing those houses that ultimately would really tell me whether or not they were going to be good, long-term, profitable rentals. And there were some myths that I think that I had as a part-time real estate investor getting started. And I don't know where I got these myths. To be honest, they probably were from purely a lack of understanding of real estate investing. An example of some of these myths were, believe it or not, I thought, hey, every house is a good rental house. You buy a house, you put a mortgage on it in order to purchase it, and you rent it out. And I thought that there were, for some reason, maybe some unwritten laws of rental economics that just stated that, hey, as long as you rent out a house, you're always going to be able to cover the mortgage and the expenses and it will be profitable. And I can say from my experience, that is not at all true. I didn't know it at the time, but I do know it now. Another myth is that, and I didn't learn this, by the way, until I got into real estate investing. But another myth that I had was that I thought that, hey, if I do buy a house with the intent of wholesaling it, and perhaps I don't end up wholesaling it, maybe it's not as attractive to other investors to purchase, or if I buy a house with the intent of rehabbing it, and perhaps after the rehab, it doesn't sell to a retail buyer. It's not as attractive to those retail buyers as I thought it might be. I believed in a myth that said, well, you've always got a fallback or a plan C. Just keep it as a rental. And I've learned through my experience that that is a very false myth, that is not true. Just because a house didn't sell as a wholesale property or just because a house didn't sell as a retail rehab property does not mean that you can comfortably fall back on it and make it a rental. I can tell you from real-life experience that the economics, a lot of the time, simply won't work. You won't be able to generate the rent off that property to cover the expenses you've already incurred or the expenses you're going to incur as you buy and hold it. And then finally, I had another myth as a part-time real estate investor starting out looking for rental properties that, hey, as long as the rent is greater than my monthly mortgage, I'm going to be just fine. And I can tell you from personal experience once again that that is not true. And all of these myths, and I'm sure there's many others that I've had and perhaps others have, they can all be debunked through the proper due diligence. And what I mean is, you know, not all assets out there, real estate investment assets, are created equal, and you've got to figure out prior to purchasing them which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones when it comes to buy and hold or rental properties. And I'm going to fall back on the old adage that, hey, the numbers don't lie. And you're probably wondering, okay, well, what does that mean? What numbers don't lie? And how do I find those numbers? Because that's exactly where I was when I was a part-time investor. Okay, if I've got to do the due diligence to determine whether or not a property is a good rental property before I buy it, how do I do that? What measures, what calculations, what analysis do I do or look at in order to give me the confidence that it's going to be a profitable rental property? And unfortunately, this is where things get even more confusing. You're going to find there's so many measures out there that you can look at to measure the future performance of a rental property. No matter what you read, no matter what you listen to, or no matter who you talk to, you're going to see a barrage of different measures. Some people are going to tell you, oh, you have to calculate an ROI, a return on investment. Other sources may say, hey, all that's important is cash on cash or COC return. You may have some mention to you a DSM, a debt service multiplier, analytical measure of the future performance of a property. You're going to hear CF, cash flow is king. That's the most important. Some may say all that matters is NI, net income. And the list and the acronyms go on and on. And you may become at this point even more confused as to how do I determine if this property is going to perform or not before I purchase it and buy it and hold it as a rental. And then once you do get your head wrapped around all these measures, you're going to talk to 10 investors and they're going to list 10 different measures. And if two or three of them list the same measure, those two or three investors probably have a different value for that same measure that they think indicates future success. So at this point, it becomes even more and more confusing. So let's try to clear it up a little bit today. At the risk of oversimplification, let me share with you just some of my observations on a few good measures to look at before you purchase a property in order to determine whether or not it's going to be a profitable rental. Let's look at the first one, and I've mentioned it earlier, DSM, or debt service multiplier. The calculation is simple. You want to look at a property and determine if its net income is at least 1.25 times service on the property. And net income is simply your rent minus your vacancy assumption, minus your maintenance, minus your taxes, minus your insurance. And debt service is simply your principal and interest payment. And all you're trying to do with a debt service multiplier is determine whether or not my monthly net income on a property has got to be at least 1.25 times my debt service, my monthly payment on that property. And if it is, there's a good chance you've got a profitable rental property on your hands. And the reason I like debt service multiplier is because most banks and lenders, when you approach them with a request for a loan to purchase a rental property, a lot of them are going to use a DSM or debt service multiplier. And a lot of them are going to ask for about a DSM of about 1.25. Some of them may ask for more. Some of them may ask for less. But it's a good measure in your pre-diligence on a property so that when your bank goes to look at the deal, you and them are on the same page. Here's another one. Maybe one of the most simplified ones, or maybe the one that's most important to you, but it's cash flow, monthly cash flow. And the calculation on that is simple. You take your monthly rent minus your principal, your interest, your taxes, your insurance, your vacancy, your maintenance, your property management fee, and your HOA fee, and whatever's left is your monthly cash flow. And I'll tell you, here in Dallas, and this is going to vary tremendously among individual investors, but in our market, a good rental that has a 15-year mortgage on it will typically cash flow about $300 a month. Now, I caution you, your market may be very different, or your goals or objectives may be very different, but I share with you how it looks here in Dallas so that you can get an idea relative to your market. Why I like cash flow is, hey, bottom line, it's the money that you're going to make in your pocket each month. And knowing your cash flow and having a good cash flow that meets your objective ultimately is your ultimate goal with that rental property. So if all the other measures confuse you, then do your due diligence and do it very well with respect to your cash flow. And if you meet your monthly cash flow off that property in your due diligence, then you've probably got a good investment property. Let's look at another one. And this I'm going to call the 1% rule. And this is one that I use commonly to quickly analyze a property, almost to see if it's even got a potential of being a good, solid buy and hold or rental investment property. And here's what the 1% rule is. And once again, I caution you, this measure, as with any of these measures, they vary in terms of what different investors will think of them and how they'll use them and how they'll value them. And they may not work in your market based on your market conditions. But the 1% rule, as it reflects in my world here in Dallas, is you've got to be able to generate at least 1% rent compared to the purchase of the property, purchase price of the property. And here's an example. Let's say I see a property that I can purchase for $60,000, but it needs $20,000 of work, which ultimately means that it's going to require an $80,000 investment to buy it and to rehab it to get it rent ready. Well, the 1% rule says on that $80,000 property, it's got to generate at least $800 a month in rent for it to even have the potential of being a good, solid investment. If that $80,000 house can only generate $700 a month in rent, I know right away that I need to move on to the next property. And there's an assumption in there, too, that that is based on a 15-year mortgage, that it's the expense basis for that property. So my point here is this is a great way to quickly look at a property on paper to determine if it's even going to be something you should pursue any further at all. If the rental rate is not at least 1% of the money you're going to have to spend on it, it's probably not a good property to invest in. So as I stated, there are so many more measures that we could look at and we could use, and we just talked three of them today: debt service multiplier, monthly cash flow. Depending on you, depending on your market, depending on your objectives, there's so many more that you can use, and the values that you'll assign to each can vary greatly. There's no one right answer, and it's going to depend on your objectives and the opportunities you have in your market, and whether you buy with cash or whether you leverage your properties with mortgages. But what I'll tell you is use more than one measure. Find the measures that you like, that you're familiar with, that you're confident with, that you know how to calculate, and that you know how to interpret. And find more than one measure. I like to use at least three measures. And I find that when I do that, when I calculate the three measures, if they've all met my objective, I have a high level of confidence that I've got a good investment there. If only one of the three meet my objective, it's a pretty good indicator that perhaps I need to do a little more due diligence on that property. If only one of the three measures indicates that it's going to be a profitable investment. Pick the measures you like, pick the measures you can use, pick the measures you know how to interpret, and go with those, but go with more than one measure just to make sure you're looking at that investment from all possible angles. And in conclusion, just remember, do your own due diligence. You got to model and measure your assets. Don't assume every house is a good rental.
Great points, Kevin. As always, I thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lewis.